Have you ever asked yourself why we celebrate holidays? Have you ever wondered why Easter is represented by a bunny and eggs? Have you ever stopped to think what the tree, ornaments, Yule log, and other such things have to do with the supposed day of Christ's birth? Have you ever taken a moment to question the origins of Halloween and why we celebrate it? Or what about birthdays? Have any of us really stopped to investigate why we hold the day of our birth in such high regard? What is the history of these holidays, and why do we esteem them so highly? More importantly, however, have any of us truly stopped to see what the infallible Word of God has to say about the celebration of man's traditions? Briefly, Christmas has absolutely nothing to do with the birth of our Savior. He was born sometime in the summer/autumn, but not in the winter. There is no evidence to suggest he was born on December 25th. But you know who was? Many, many various pagan gods. Easter is claimed to be a celebration of Christ's resurrection, but is associated with a bunny and eggs because both of these symbols are representative of pagan fertility/goddess worship. The Christmas tree is directly linked to the Babylonian king Nimrod, the one who built the Tower of Babel, and his son Tammuz. In fact, the 40 days of Lent and its pagan origins are mentioned directly in the Bible. In short, the entire reason we celebrate these holidays today is because in the early days of the Roman Catholic Vatican, the need to fill pews and coffers drove them to incorporate pagan traditions in order to attract those pagans into the church. Not unlike any other advertising campaign we see today, which is used to attract the greatest number of customers possible by appealing to the various sensibilities of the public. All this is a matter of historical record and cannot be refuted. So, all this being said, what does God have to say about the celebration of man's traditions? Deuteronomy 6:14 says, "Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you." I really like this verse because we are lovingly warned that everyone around us will be following false gods in their worship and upholding of satanic holidays, and that we should not follow after them. This is one of the places where the Word of God warns us not to go after the traditions or customs of other nations. In Deuteronomy 12, verses 29 to 32, it says, "When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, How did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it." I like this part too, especially I like that God uses the word snared to get us to understand that following the customs of false gods, which is just Satan, is exactly like being caught in a trap made for death. Verse 32 is particularly important because so many well-meaning Christians think that they can celebrate Christmas or Easter or birthdays and still glorify God in the process. God tells us exactly how to worship him. We simply cannot add thereto nor diminish from his commands. And he also makes it crystal clear that his people cannot revel in the same traditions of those who hate him. In Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 to 14, it says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations, which thou shalt possess, hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do." This is just another example of how God views the traditions of the people who have strayed far from him. Leviticus 19:31 says, "Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." This is why like-minded people tend to stick together. When family and friends and acquaintances gather together in celebration of man's traditions, it is because of the familiar spirits spoken about here in Leviticus. These familiar spirits are nothing more than demons who move us to revel in our sins and center the revelry around holidays, which they know are against the will of God. Exodus 23:2 says, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment." Ever notice that it is always the majority who think they are correct? We know that the true followers of God will always be and have always been very small in number. We are promised this by our loving Lord. Therefore, it is safe to say that wherever the multitude is walking, we must walk in the other direction. And in the case of celebrating man's traditions, every single person in the world, except God's remnant people, celebrate a particular holiday by justifying the celebration with the deception that it is just being around family in order to love each other, or by saying, it's the love we are celebrating, not the holiday. Well, my question is, why not love our families throughout the entire year? Why does our love have to only be shown on pagan festival days? In Mark 2, verses 21 and 22, it says, "No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles." Jesus is talking about combining old with new here. He's talking about combining pagan tradition with Christianity. He makes it abundantly clear that to do so will end in sorrow. In fact, it was the combining of Christianity and paganism which created the Roman Catholic Church. It is easy to see that combining the old with the new, or satanic celebrations with Christian truth, will always end in death. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." As we walk through this world, we will be the only Bible other people will ever read. Therefore, in our words and actions, we must glorify God in His truth. Since celebrating a holiday very much counts as an appearance of evil to those who may want the truth of God's word, we've already led them astray by celebrating these things. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" We are told by God to only remain in the presence of like-minded, God-fearing, Bible-believing Christians. And in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 18, it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." We cannot walk with God and His enemy at the same time. We have to be around like-minded believers for the sake of our own relationship with Christ. God has no fellowship with unrighteousness. In His light, darkness cannot exist. Christ has no fellowship with Satan. God calls us to be ye separate from the works of darkness. In this case, we must be separate from the satanic celebration of holidays. In 1 John 2, 3-6, it says, "And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked." And in 1 John 2, 15-17 it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." To love the world is the same thing as loving the enemy of God, and this is why we're called to be separate from the world. 1 John 3:18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth." Again, we may be the only Bible which people ever read in their entire lives. Since the Bible neither sanctifies nor condones traditions of men, it is not for the Christian to take part in anything of the sort. In our actions, we must glorify God and give Him His due praise. 1 John 4, verses 5 and 6 say, "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." This is an unfortunate truth. Prophecy declares that there are always going to be those who are completely shut off from hearing the truth of God's word. They only hear what they want and will fervently deny the blatant truth so lovingly spoken to us in the infallible word of God. One gift we receive by wholeheartedly chasing God is discernment. We are able to distinguish between truth and lies. In Romans 1, verses 25 and 32, it says, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." I like it when I come to these verses when talking about Christmas in particular. They apply to birthday celebrations and all other celebrations of man as well. Now, doesn't verse 25 remind you of the mindset of those who hold Christmas close to their heart? Doesn't the latter part of verse 25 sound exactly like what a tradition of man is all about? We lift up the family, we lift up the loved ones, over and above their place as fellow human beings, and into a place of exaltation, thereby placing them in a position above ourselves. This is precisely what worship is. The only person we should ever lift above ourselves is our Creator, Jesus Christ. Moreover, verse 32 confirms the mindset of holiday celebrations. Not only do most people already know that these celebrations are wrong in their heart, but they revel in the celebrations. Even if they do not know of the evil associated with holiday celebrations, the mindset is the same. They not only celebrate, but take pleasure in these celebrations. The most common excuses for partaking in these rituals or traditions is that they provide a sense of community, fellowship, and family, or that the celebrant's feelings will get hurt. These are very common attacks by the enemy, which serve to anchor us into participating in his celebrations, because he knows these things offend God. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." For those who exalt themselves over the knowledge of God with their own beliefs, with their own knowledge, earn a casting down from grace. To choose to celebrate holidays, despite the fact that God's word clearly condemns such things, is to hold our own beliefs higher than the knowledge of God. This belief is in direct violation of commandment number 1, which states in Exodus 20 verse 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." When we choose to say that our beliefs are above the commands of God, we place ourselves as a god above him. Colossians 2:8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Every tradition of man is vain and deceitful, and are in direct opposition to Christ. The traditions of man are connected to this world, and therefore, Satan. John 15, verses 18 and 19 say, "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." And in John 7:7 it says, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil." The world loves the world, and the world hates Christians because we are not part of the world. We are in it, but we're not of it. Every Christian knows that this world is not our home. We are all striving toward our actual home in heaven. Our true home is in heaven by the side of the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We can rest safely in the fact that those opposed to us are not hateful toward us, but toward Christ himself. In Luke 6:22, it says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." And 1 Peter 4:4, "Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." The Lord says that we are blessed when people hate us for his sake. To stand with Christ has always meant to be hated by the world. But I would rather stand for God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. We are the nonconformists, and as such, the world casts us out. They think we are the strange ones for following the ways of God instead of joining them in what everyone else is doing, quote-unquote, such as celebration of holidays. James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." And I believe this verse to be self-explanatory. Choosing the world, or choosing the enemy of souls, makes us enemies of God, and that should be a scary thought to each of us. Matthew 11:6 says, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Despite what the enemy would have us believe, what we feel in our hearts and think in our minds and say with our lips, offend God with our actions. There are too many Christians who think that celebrating holidays is okay because they believe in Christ. No matter how we try to justify our actions by declaring we love Christ, he takes serious offense when those who call themselves Christians participate in pagan or satanic rituals. Simply believing in Christ isn't enough. I mean, if belief was enough, then Satan would go to heaven. He has no problem believing in him. It wasn't his belief which got him thrown out of heaven, it was disobedience. And it wasn't belief in Jesus Christ which got Adam and Eve thrown out of the garden, it was disobedience. So belief is not enough. Faith without works is dead. In Colossians 3:1-3, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." So again, self-explanatory. Seek the things which are eternal in God's kingdom, not the things of the earth which are sent to burn to ash. Mark 7:9-13 says, "And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." Matthew 15:3-9 says, "But he answered and said unto him, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites! Well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. To hold to the traditions of man is to reject the commandment of God." And in Titus 1:13-16, it says, "This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." Here, we are told that fables and traditions of men are polar opposites of truth and only serve to defile our conscience. We are also directly told that those who hold to man's traditions profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Again, faith without works is dead, according to James 2. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." Again, we're called to be separate from those who work abomination in the sight of the Lord. This does not mean to separate from those who are simply struggling to follow God. This is referring to those who outright reject the truth. 2 Timothy 4, 2-4 says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." We cannot afford to hesitate when it comes to the preaching of God's truth. We do not know if there will be a future for the person God has set before us, and therefore we must tell them his loving truth in that very moment. Wherever the Spirit leads, that's what we speak to them. The consequence of refusal to adhere to the commandments of the Lord are evident in the mindsets and actions of people today. Just look around. They, in fact, do not endure sound doctrine. Instead, they actively seek out preachers who will tell them exactly what they want to hear because they have itching ears. They turn away their ears from the truth because they would prefer to believe that it's okay to celebrate holidays. And this is what we call the Isaiah 4:1 type of Christian, who wants to read the Bible the way they want, walk the way they want, believe the way they want, but still call themselves Christians. In Romans 12:1-2, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Be not conformed to this world. Our reasonable service is to live our lives as a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ. And as this verse tells us, God will transform our minds and our hearts if we come to him in honesty and truth in order to make us into that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his glorious sight. He wants us to become separate from the world and become as he is. Deuteronomy 14:2 says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all nations that are upon the earth." The Lord chose us to be a peculiar people. We're peculiar because while the rest of the world, most especially including all the Christians, choose to celebrate holidays and we don't. Just like we are Sabbath keepers, while the rest of Christianity is not. We are actually considered the weird ones, the strange ones, the peculiar ones, because we choose to follow God's truth. And in Matthew 5:14-16, it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Once more, our actions will or will not influence others to glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our actions on their own afford us the opportunity to plant the Lord's seeds of truth into all the hearts that are witnessing our stand. When we combine our actions with the spoken word of God flowing through us by his Holy Spirit, a powerful message is displayed to the world. At the same time, our stand for the Lord pleases him and glorifies him in his truth. For all eyes that witness us standing firm in the strength of God, we show them the power of God himself. and I hope and pray that you are blessed by everything you heard here today. God bless.